This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
The NBA is back, and at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA, the key to victory is a strong starting five. New customers can bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and if they do, you win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NBA team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an authorized sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. Time for the Top 4 at 4. Brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Here's Jake Miller.
Thanks, Russ. Up first, the Baseballs will be back in front of a local crowd on November 6th for their Orange and White game. The game will be held at Smoky Stadium at 1 o'clock, and admission is free.
Pretty cool. Chance for there's some demand for Tennessee baseball. I mean, who went to the Orange and White Tennessee baseball game? Who even knew we had one of those?
I'll be honest, I didn't know we had one.
And now, you'll have 1,000, 2,000 people show up for that thing.
Packed out Smoky Stadium.
Be a nice stadium. That's a nice stadium, too, man. Good venue.
And number two, with Zach Wilson sidelined for at least 2 games with a sprained knee, the New York Jets secured quarterback insurance on Monday. They reacquired Joe Flacco in a trade with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Flacco?
Where's Cam Newton?
That's what I'm saying.
He even went ahead and got his vaccine, too.
Yeah, he got it. He's ready to come back. So, I mean, I guess you go get
Joe Flacco.
I mean, where's Flacco been? Has he been out of the league?
No, he's a backup.
Really?
Let me see. He was a backup for the – who played last night?
The Seahawks and the Saints.
And the Saints. I forget where, but he's been a backup.
I figured he was somewhere getting surgery.
No, he's been a backup. I mean, he played last year, sparingly, but – he was in a game due to injury last year.
Is Joe Flacco elite?
No, not anymore. I mean, he was once
was
a
he?
Good quarterback.
He was?
I thought he was a really good quarterback.
He had a rocket arm for me.
He had the size, the arm strength. What is he, 6'6", 240 pounds? But, I think injuries had, worked against him.
Is a guy from the Jets, so Wilson, is he out for the year?
He's got a PCL sprain.
He should be back.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And number 3. Tom Brady more than came through on his promise to the fan that ended up with a ball thrown to Mike Evans for a 600th career touchdown pass. In addition to everything we mentioned yesterday, the fan will receive 2 signed Brady jerseys, a helmet, another jersey autographed by Mike Evans, and his game-worn cleats. Brady told the Mannings that he also promised Kennedy he'd receive 1 Bitcoin, which has a value of $62,000.
Okay, now we're talking.
That's pretty cool, man, for him to do that. But
it's
listen,
like $100,000 worth of merch out there.
We got in a big argument about this yesterday, Terry. You giving it up?
Hey, if I'm Brady, why not? You know what I mean?
No, if you're the guy, if you're Joe Schmo in the
stands. Oh, yeah, I'm giving it up, man, because even though you're a fan, man, that's significant meaning to what he's done in the NFL in his career. And
I'm giving it up, but there's a price.
When you do good things come back to you. You know what I mean?
Well, obviously,
that's what that's about.
Yeah, 1 Bitcoin.
Bear giving it up. So he's the guy that ran up the stairs and ran out the stadium.
Exactly. You get out of the stadium with the ball, and then you negotiate. His problem was he was negotiating during the game. He gave him you leave the stadium with the football. Yeah, you get an advisor. You take some time. And you get as much as you can for it. Bitcoin's nice. You get $60,000.
That's what's wrong with this country. Right there. That type of thinking.
Well, no. I mean,
there's somebody listening to this show that's like, Russell was absolutely right.
I'm going to get mine.
He is.
I'm going to get mine.
My only caveat was that unless it was a former Tennessee Vol, and then I'd go ahead and, been like Peyton or.
So you wouldn't gave it back to Toa Toa, huh?
No.
I didn't mean touch a nerve there, Bear.
No. No, his blood doesn't run orange. It's green.
And number 4, 4 hours from now, the first pitch will be thrown in the World Series. Charlie Morton will be on the mound for the Braves, and Valdez will be on the mound for Houston. Houston is a 1.5 run favorite.
How about that?
What'd you think, Russ? Are you excited? You got all your stuff ready for the game tonight?
Yeah, I got my Braves foam finger. I got the foam tomahawk. My Braves jersey. My Steve Avery jersey.
I'm sure.
Dale Murphy jersey. I'm ready to go.
He's got about five favorite baseball teams.
I like it. I like it. I've been hearing rolling with them all Atlanta the whole year, so I hope it works out for you.
Hey, man, it's impressive. You lose your best player in the middle of the season. Pitching staff's a wreck. They were what? They were not over 500 until August 8th. It's the latest a team that's made the World Series has taken to be over 500 in the season. They're on a roll, man, peaking at the right time.
I do feel like you could wear this jersey better than I could.
I could wear just about anything a lot better than you could, Jake. I mean, let's be honest.
Put it to the test.
That's fine.
You got this kind of physique.
The dad bod?
Yeah.
I
wouldn't go that far. I mean, listen, we can stop it at some point.
Hey, man. I'll make that look good. What size is that?
It's a large Deion Sanders jersey.
Oh, prime time.
Neon Deion.
Okay.
That is the top four at four, brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Terry Ferry's here. He's brought to you by our friends at Craven Wings with two locations, North Shore Drive in Chodo and on Chapman Highway in Seymour. Go check them out, Craven Wings, where it's always fresh, never frozen. Terry, let's start with the Alabama game. Your thoughts on the game that got away quickly from the Volunteers?
Well, I say this, man, I'm first and foremost extremely proud, all right, of those guys and the effort that they showed on Saturday. You know, I mean, we said that this team is going to continue to fight. They're not going to quit. And I put this out there on Twitter as well on Saturday. I definitely think this team is trending in the right direction. I'm proud of those guys. I love the fight in this team. You know, I just think when you're playing a team like Alabama, who is arguably one of the best teams in the country, you can't make the mistakes, you know, that we made in that game, primarily in that third and fourth quarter. You can't have 10 penalties for almost 100 yards in a game. You know, you can't possess the ball for 19 minutes and they possess it for 40 minutes. You can't have 10 first downs and they have 33 first downs. You can't block punts and only get 3 points out of it. You know, when you're going against a team like that, the stars kind of have to align for you if you're Tennessee. And, man, we almost had it lined up. We were right there until that fourth quarter, minutes into that fourth quarter. To me, I thought one of the game-changing plays was that big, long 65-yard pass that they completed, because we had done a good job all night of taking away the big play in a pass game, which Alabama thrives off of. We did that. We were able to make them march the ball, run the ball, go down, and that's where that 40 minutes of possession comes from. And we just were unable to get off the field on third down again. Mm. We're back in the studio on a Tuesday, on a T-Fair Tuesday, talking about the same thing. And this time it's Bryce Young, a guy that does not want to run the football, who is great with just being in the pocket, but taking advantage of the opportunities against, I think, a team that lacks the athleticism to contain athletic quarterbacks or just quarterbacks in general.
Terry, how do you walk the line between nobody? This is Tennessee. Nobody wants to talk about moral victories. But how do you walk that line between not claiming victory when you lost and lost by four touchdowns, while also recognizing improvement?
Yeah, I think the first thing is, as a staff, you know, you're going to look at this 52 points. Anytime you give up, you know, you're putting a half a 100 club. That is not good. That's not a good look for your football team, and that's something that you never want. I think you always have to try to find some positives in a loss, and I think you saw that. I think one thing that you see each and every week is your team, you know, they're not going to give up. They're going to fight no matter who the opponent is. I thought defensively, you saw them get off the field some against Alabama. How you started the second half, how you responded in some adverse situations in this game. There was tons of positives to take away against a really, really good football team. Not what we're accustomed to seeing of Alabama, but still a dang good team that if they get in a college football playoff, that team has probably a chance to win it. So, look, tons of positive that you're going to focus on, but those negative plays, you know, all of the things that you look at in this game that we had an opportunity to take advantage of and cash in that we didn't do, it hurts, man. But I think the players, when you put it on, man, for, hey, for the first 3.5 quarters, we're fighting against one of the best teams in the country, and I think that's progress in itself.
You were on several staffs the past 10 years or so of college football. What do teams do on off weeks these days? How do those go? How much time do you spend working young players, just resting the veterans versus getting ready for a big game with Kentucky here in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's a time to get a lot of your team healthy, for one. It's a time to self-scout and evaluate yourselves and things that have been plaguing you throughout the season. You know, it may be certain pass plays. It may be containing the quarterback in certain situations. All of those negative things is what we're going to go back to the drawing board and work on, as well as get some of these young guys a lot of meaningful reps throughout the week. Because you never know down the stretch, you may need some guys, and just, you know, getting them that time that they may not get during the season because your starters and backups are going to log a lot of those reps. So, getting some of those guys up to speed, but basically it's about yourself during this week. It's about self-scouting yourself, seeing where you were poor in certain situations, seeing what, if it's tackling, all of the things that has hurt you, those are the fundamental things that you're going to go back and focus on this week.
All right, we already got some phone calls piling up. Folks want to talk to T. Fair this afternoon. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back and bang through these. It's The Drive, Fan Run Radio. We're back with more right after this.
Fair's there. Terry Fair's there.
Success is learned. T. Fair Tuesday, presented by Craven Wings. Oh, man. We got an overcast outside and everything, but kind of wish we were still at Craven Wings like last week. That was a good time, man.
Always fresh, man. Great time. Always good to be there. And more and more people, man, are hitting us up.
Yeah.
You know, showing us pictures.
Hey, when you go out there, take a picture and tag us on social media. We want to see it. Show some love. Tell them you heard about it right here on Fan Run Radio. All right, let's get to these phones. 865-546-8200. Phil is first. Good afternoon, Phil.
Mike Larry W.
Billy.
How you, Terry, your bear, and Jake Snake doing?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
Guys, I might have that Craven Rings up there in Seymour. It's just right down the road.
Oh, yeah, you're in the Sono Craven Wings area. You got to go check it out, man. Get you some wings, some chicken tenders, maybe a fresh, juicy burger.
Yeah, and skin that cat on November 6th, which will be my birthday. It'll be a good birthday present to skin that cat, wouldn't it?
I hear you. You're going to win over Kentucky for Phil's birthday.
Guys, we played good for, you know, like, you know, that big old long pass and or the interception or whatever you want to say. I mean, our defense is on the field too much. That's what part of the problem. And I know we do good for three downs, and that third down and long was killing us. But I think part of it is we just don't handle depth.
I agree. You know, it shows. I mean, you know, we've got guys getting injured. There's not a lot of depth. I mean, Theo Jackson is going to be out probably – you know, for the rest of the year.
What?
Maybe.
No,
you know,
no.
He missed the rest of that game, which will hurt. But, you know, depth is killing us right now. And just you can tell that, you know, we're not matching up talent-wise. We're making up for it with how hard we play and, you know, disciplining coverage and doing the right things that we need to do. I think Tim Banks is doing an outstanding job. But, you know, man, depth is a huge problem right now. Huge.
Yeah, and then our offense – We need Evans back 100%, and we need Cade Mays back 100%, and then we can – I think our offense can move the ball in Kentucky. If not, we'll probably be very lucky to beat Kentucky without those two players.
Well, I disagree with you on that because you said to move the ball on Kentucky. We moved the ball on Alabama without Cade Mays and a limited Tyon Evans. So –
It is.
I mean, but I don't think that we can move the ball on anybody. I don't think that's the issue. I think that we have to be smarter, like in that game, three third downs that we didn't make third and short. We have to be more creative in those instances, especially when you're going against a front seven like Alabama's. That's not going to happen. We got to be more creative and come up with ways, which I think we'll self-scout, and we'll get that figured out. That's one thing I think with this team and this staff that you don't see is you don't see us making the same mistakes in terms of scheme-wise each and every game.
What about that 4th and 1? Would you have gone for it?
That wouldn't have been the play, but possibly.
Our defense is wore out. You got to go for it.
Yeah, you're just trying to make something happen. You're trying to stay in the game. You know, if we pick it up, you know, it's great for us. You're in a great situation. I think when you play against in games like this, Russ, I mean, you got to be able to take chances and hopefully hit on some of those chances you take.
I think they were just so gun-shy after getting stuffed on so many 3rd and shorts at that point that they didn't feel confident in it.
I wondered if Hendon Hooker had been completely healthy, if that might have changed things. He was I can't overstate enough the effort that he put in just even playing the game the other night.
We got to get a quarterback sneak in the playbook. I mean, I'm no coach, Terry, but you got to have that in the playbook, man.
You got to be able to get under center and pick up half a yard, an inch, 1 yard. You got to have that in your repertoire. But listen, this is what I do like. I do like that a banged up Hooker played. It shows that Tyon Evans was banged up. He played. You know what that shows? That we went out there to win the football game. We're not resting guys or getting ready for Kentucky. We're trying to win every football game. We talked about this last Tuesday. What should we do? Should we rest these guys? No. If these guys can go, I mean, it's a lot of guys that's not healthy in football right now and in sports. But sometimes you suck it up, get taped up, and you go out there and you expect from yourself and from your teammates that, hey, man, let's go out here and try to win this game. I like that out of Josh Heupel and not sitting those guys.
Did y'all see where the Tennessee-Alabama game was the highest-rated game during the weekend?
No, but, it's not surprising. It was a hell of a game up until –
Yeah, it's two big brands. And then people – first of all, there's not a bunch of other good games going on. And then when people hear that Alabama's struggling, they're all going to tune in to hopefully see an upset.
Well, I mean, the Pirate T still means something, even though we haven't done nothing in 20 years.
It's always going to mean something, Phil.
I mean that team means a lot, and I just want to get this football program back to where it used to be.
I'll say this. We talk about every time I come on your show, what's the word I always say? Are we making what?
Progress.
Every damn week we're making progress. And I like what I see. I like the fight. You combine that with that transfer portal and going out and getting some recruits that can come in and contribute down the road. But I think the recipe for what we're doing defensively and offensively, I think you got it. And the biggest thing I think you see is the guys want to, because this coaching staff is doing something right and getting these guys ready to play each and every week and play above and beyond probably what they're capable of playing.
Is the Kentucky game going to be on ESPN at night now? Is that ESPN2 at night? Is that what I heard?
I thought it was ESPN, but, yeah, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, it's ESPN2 at 7.
Why do they cater Kentucky and always have night games?
Probably so the dead grass isn't as prevalent. Well, no, they don't have.
They don't have anymore. Hell, they haven't had that since Terry was playing.
Is Keeneland going on right now, too? I mean, or illegal basketball recruiting going on? What's going on?
Up there? That never stops.
That ends in Y.
That seems like Calipari's back to his roots, though. You know what?
It's okay. That's okay. I see we're a big John Fulkerson named first team All-SEC today. Shout out to Fulky. Yeah, he's got a broken thumb on his left hand. He's left-handed, though, man. I mean, that guy just cannot stay healthy.
Wow. He's got the brittle bone disease.
Well, they beat Davidson without Fulky and out without Kenny Chandler, so do you think maybe we're better than we think we are?
I mean, I think we're pretty good. I mean, we're a top 20 team coming into the season. I would expect to beat Davidson with or without John Fulkerson.
Yeah. Got a lot of depth.
They got a tough schedule. I think, you know, we got plenty of players. We're going to have to use a lot of them this year. That's for sure. That's one thing. At least the basketball team's got depth. The football team, we got to go out and recruit about 30. We can sign 32 players this year, right?
In football?
Yeah.
No, it's 25, and then you get
25 plus. You can sign 7 more.
If you have guys leave, what is it before the end of the season and it hit the portal?
Yeah, so you'd have to have 7 guys leave
before the end of the season to get those, Phil.
I'd say they probably work. There's probably some on there that will leave.
They'll bring in a bunch of guys for sure.
You gotta do what you gotta do. You know. Yep. Joy Terry on there on Tuesday. See you.
Thank you, Phil. I believe Terry just made maybe for the first time the fan run out of context Twitter account a while ago. What did you say? Would you get a banged up hooker?
Yeah.
That guy's out there listening every time, and he will get you.
Oh, is that right? Did he get me?
I'm sure he will.
Oh, my goodness.
He hammers me and Russ constantly.
I already think like a 10-year-old to begin with. And ever since that guy took to Twitter, every time somebody says something even like remotely, like sexual innuendo or something, I'm like, oh, boy.
So they've not got him yet?
Yeah.
Nothing beats me getting got like 1 minute into the show.
What did you say?
It was damp enough to go through the shorts.
bunch of idiots in our audience. All right, let's get Geraldo Vall in here next. Geraldo, you're on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It is good to hear from all of you. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Like, I know you guys were talking about a little bit earlier that you know, Mike Leach runs a different style of offense than we do. We're a little more run-heavy, and they're more pass-heavy. But I am really interested in this game. I think it's probably the most interesting game for me this weekend, just to see, like, how does Kentucky respond to, I guess, at least a very similar offense, right? I think that's going to be really kind of a lot of Tennessee fans are going to be watching that game this weekend.
I think Heupel's takes a lot more shots vertically than Leach.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I really like our balance. You know, to be such a fast offense, I don't think you can just be pass heavy or run heavy. I think you have to have great balance, and I think it's one thing that he really, really looks at during a game. Where am I at passing? Where am I at running? I think that helps you out. Now, we've got to get healthy, get some people healthy to help us out in that regard. But I think that running the football and being 50-50 really helps each part of that facet of offense out.
Now, I remember I want to say it was Greg McElroy was saying during the broadcast when Bryce Young was running all over us, and he was talking about how Matt Corral did the same thing. And then he mentioned how Will Levis likes to run. But I did not think that he liked to run. But I guess teams are going to try to run their quarterback on us until we learn how to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, if I had Russell at quarterback, he better get ready to run on some third downs too with what we've seen on film. I mean, you do what you see on film and what's been successful. And so far, we hadn't been able to do it. You know, Russ, you asked me, what do you work on in an off week? Well, what's killed us the most defensively? That's been a running quarterback, right?
Yeah.
How about, like, just get a rabbit, chicken or something, and for 25 minutes each and every day this week, I want everybody on defense to have to touch it on the side. Take the right angles. I don't care what you got to do. It's just like that running quarterback. Just got to touch it on the side
before you can get
off the field.
I feel like you're going to get the PETA people down here on us. You start bringing out livestock to practice field, a bunch of 300-pounders.
Rocky did it, right?
With a chicken.
No.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it worked for him.
You got to catch a chicken, Rock.
You got to do something, man, because you're just getting killed out there. And like Terry said, you go look at Bryce Young's stats. I mean, he is not – a running quarterback, and we made him look like Mike Vick back there.
That's the one thing that worries me about Kentucky. Levis will run the quarterback, or will run the ball. He's done it, watched several of their games this year. He's comfortable running it.
He will, but, you know, this defense, the one thing that I look at where we thought we would be before the season, I mean, we're doing a pretty solid job of stopping a run. And to me, when you look at a team like Kentucky going into that game, yeah, they've got probably one of the best running backs in Rodriguez and what he's doing. You know, he's going to be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. Plus, their quarterback can run as well. Kavassier Smoke is not playing, you know, probably where he needs to because of Rodriguez doing what he's doing. And then you look at throwing the football, they've got one guy with 49 receptions, all right? And then after that, the most is 17. So when you look the game plan against this team, of course you got to stop the run, and of course you got to take away that receiver who is a talented individual, especially with the ball in his hands. Hey, you stop those guys, and you've got a chance against this offense.
Interesting. One last question, Mr. Fair. What is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Great answer. Great answer. Yes. Hey, you guys have a great day. See ya.
I just like it. Ends on a cliffhanger. You don't know what's happening,
yeah,
man. What's up with Luke? Is Han Solo going to be frozen on Jabba's wall forever? Do Luke and Leia know what the deal is there? Who are the Ewoks? We don't know. There's just so much left unanswered.
It was. And just,
Ewoks,
you know, growing up, you know what I mean, before the new stuff came out, that's what it was. Out of those, what, three that we had when we were younger,
yeah,
that was it.
Oh, yeah. You talk about devaluing the brand. Hey, look, the new ones are okay. They're cute. They're fun. But they're not like the original
one
three.
One thing I did, me and the family had a chance to do during the when we were in the pandemic, is go back and watch all of the Star Wars in chronological
order.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I like the offshoots, the Solo, Rogue One.
Yeah,
like those. I think those are better than the last three episodes.
Good, just tells a story.
Yeah. All right, quick timeout. The Drive continues. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. If you want to jump in here, Terry, we're going to get your thoughts on the officiating. Always a controversial subject. When we continue, stay tuned. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio. T-Fair Tuesday brought to you by Craven Wings. You can make your order online at cravenwings.com. Craven Wings, always fresh, never frozen. Terry, the officiating controversy just won't go away. I mean, I didn't think it was that bad. Maybe I've just been conditioned to expect getting screwed every time you play Alabama in Tuscaloosa, but fans are still hot about it. What's your take on that particular game, Tennessee and Alabama, and just the state of officiating in this conference altogether?
Well, I just – right now I don't like it. I don't think it's good. I think it needs to be a lot better. A lot of things need to be called the same way each and every week, which, you know, if you're a Tennessee fan, you're going to say, yeah, it is called the same way, and it's always against us. And I'm not just trying to say that being a Vol fan. I'm saying that because there are plays when you look at this game that you go back and say, that's not the right call. And it started off like we talked about with the targeting call. You know, Malachi Moore, that should have been targeting call. He should have been thrown from that game. If you're calling it like you do each and every week, there's a guy that should be on your list anyway because he's a habitual offender with a targeting call. You know what I mean? So that one, the fumble, which was a crazy play in itself, clearly the ball is out on the goal line. Did he recover? We came up with it. But to me, I didn't see a lot of angles back in that, you know, they tried to show a lot. It was the same one over and over again. It's just each and every week, you know, you're looking and you're saying, man, nothing is going our way when it comes to calls.
Not getting many breaks.
Not many at all. I mean, and it's the same old story. And we're talking
about. I'm surprised they called the roughing the punter.
I mean, you had to. If you didn't call that, guess what? We'd have been throwing stuff on the field at Alabama, which would have been warranted for that.
Oh, man. The targeting one was pretty egregious. But, again, you know what? Like, I'm not surprised they didn't call it. That's what's frustrating about it.
The referee was staring right at it.
You've come to expect this kind of treatment, though.
Well, do you? I mean – because each and every week you go into a game and you say, man, with what happened last week, you know, you would think coming back into this week, they would say, okay, you know, maybe they'd be a little more lenient in looking at things and maybe something would go our way. But it didn't. Same old every week, man. Well, we're sitting here saying the same thing about missed call after missed call that could have been huge as far as an impact in that game.
865-546-8200 if you want to jump in, 546-8200. So Kentucky is up to a 1.5-point favorite now over Mississippi State. They actually opened as an underdog going in. Terry, it's weird. You know, we talk about the Kentucky game being a big game, but, I mean, this year it is.
It's huge. Look, Kentucky is playing very good football right now. They're a good football team. So for us to go in there and get a win against that team that's been together for a while, you know, with the addition of some players, I think it'll be huge. You know, I always mess with them and call them the Pussycats because it's a huge rivalry, you know, for me being at, you know, Battle of the Beer Barrel and all of those things, and one that we've always taken seriously. So a border rival. But I think it'll be a huge win for this team to be able to go in there. It's going to be a hostile environment in that stadium. I know their team is expecting a win, but listen, we know this team is going to go in there and fight, and we're going to expect to win that game as well. And I think we can win that game based on what I've seen out of Kentucky and what I've seen out of Tennessee.
Heupel's been a big wrinkle guy. You know, every game offensively, you see some plays where you're like, oh, that's neat. Like, oh, that's good. That's good. I haven't seen that before. And with the off week, do you think you'll see more of that?
Huge. Yeah, you're going to see more. This is really a time during an off week to where your assistants, the quality controls, those GAs, man, everybody's in there crunching numbers, crunching plays. You're getting all of those tendencies, things that has hurt Kentucky, things that have beaten them, and you have to have a wrinkle. And if you're on a Kentucky end, you have to expect, with a team coming out of a bye week, you have to expect the unexpected as well. So they will be, they're well coached. They'll be prepared as well to deal with some of those things that we might do. But I say this, man, each and every week, I don't care if it hasn't been a bye week. You know, Heupel was dialing in some great plays, man, and play calls. And I tell you this, one young guy that man is quickly become the best receiver on our team is Tillman.
Oh.
I mean, it's not a week that's going by that this kid is not making a play, and each week is continuing to make more and more. He's got the size, he showed the speed, he's physical, he can do so much, and he fits perfectly in what Heupel was trying to do in this offense.
I mean, that's been a problem against Alabama for so long, just receivers being able to get off the line of scrimmage against them, let alone get open, and to see Tennessee receivers, you know, him and Peyton just flat out burn Bama DBs a couple of times.
And here's my other thing. I don't mean to cut you off.
Fine.
I mean, it pisses me off, all right, watching a game that why when Alabama, they beat our DBs, they get a big catch. It's, oh, look at the athleticism of that receiver. He has a size. He has a speed. He can go the distance.
Talk
nobody can match up with him. Yeah. And then, why let somebody from that? That's like letting me announce
Thank
the Tennessee
you.
Game.
Thank you.
Tennessee-Alabama game, right? You think I'm going to be a homer a little bit? I wouldn't be, because I would be professional. I wouldn't be like those cats.
Sure.
But listen. But it's always something. We do it all. You know, it's just a total lack of it's just a breakdown in coverage by
Tennessee
Alabama.
Does
they didn't do this.
A,
they didn't do that. It wasn't because, oh, that was a great play. That was a great throw. That was this. That was that. Are you kidding me? So when Alabama does it or makes a mistake, it's because, hey, you know, they made a mistake. It's not because we did something good. But when they do something good, it's because how talented and how gifted they are. That pisses me off, man.
It's an outrage.
The game.
It's an outrage. This is supposed to be the SEC.
Just call it. Call
Here's
it what it is, man.
Bear had a rare moment of clarity last week, and he said something that I thought initially I was like, that doesn't make much sense. But then I thought about it. I was like, this is a really good idea. They need to move the SEC offices out of Birmingham.
Move them to Charlotte.
They need to move them to Charlotte. Because I've heard people say, "Oh, you move into Atlanta, or you move it to Nashville."
No, way too close to Athens.
Yeah, you don't put it in. You put it in. There's no North Carolina. There's no SEC school there.
Yeah,
the closest one is South Carolina, and they don't really matter. They don't care anyway.
You realize 80% of the referees in the SEC,
and you've got
are from Birmingham,
and you've got they've got the network there. The SEC network is produced out of Charlotte anyway. So, and I mean, let's be honest, that's where all this money is coming from. So consolidate everything there and get rid of this.
The Bammers,
just make it neutral.
A perception.
Yeah. Make it neutral. You know what I mean? Where it's not in any city that, you know, there's an SEC team.
Much less Birmingham.
Right.
They absolutely. We need to start that movement. I feel like
the de-bamification of the SEC.
Yes. Thank you.
I don't think that's going to happen until they start getting beat again.
Well,
and it's coming, so it's coming.
They've
it's coming.
They've taken a small step back, man. They're not quite – they're still very good.
I don't count Saban out of anything. I mean, I really do think he's that good.
You know, he turned 70 at the end of this month.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was saying, hey, he let that hair grow out. He'll look all of 72, and he won't have all that makeup and dye and all of that stuff. But listen, I do think he's that good of a coach, and I do think that what is plaguing them this season, he'll correct. But, you know, teams around to get better as well and start to recruit and do the things that and catch them, and it'll be a matter of time before you have that parity back in the league again. Can't wait till it gets here, but that's the way it's going.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got to catch up. He's got to tail off a little bit. They've definitely tailed off just a little bit. It's perceptible. You know, like 5 years ago, is Tennessee going to hit three just huge home run plays against Alabama?
No. I mean, when you look at the game,
A&M hit some too. Georgia's going to hit some too.
I just looking at this game, man. I'm pumped. I'm excited going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And then they outscore us 28-7 in the fourth quarter after a big play, and you know it just rolled downhill from that point.
Okay, so the first quarter, Tennessee is like the best team in the country, and then the fourth quarter, it gets away from us. Obviously, it feels like the defense is gassed a lot, but it seems like Heupel, you're going to run that fast offense. You got to give your defense a break, and the best way to do that is convert some of these third downs and stay on the field. We talk about not being able to get off the field. We can't stay on the field, it seems like.
You have to. You just can't, in your right mind, and we're not trying to, but you can't give a team 40 minutes of possession and keep giving them chance after chance after chance, because early in that game, they missed on some plays, which, you know, if you're going to upset a team, that team that is supposed to beat you has to miss on some plays. You've got to get some turnovers, and you've got to get some breaks in that game. And we got all of those. It's just that I think that when you have 40 minutes and your defense is on the field for that long, that fatigue takes over your mind sometimes, and I think that's what leads to busted coverages. You're not able to get off the field on third downs, and you start making some poor decisions.
Terry, what's your favorite Halloween candy?
Really? Is who's asking?
Me.
Probably Snicker candy bars.
Snickers? You like the peanut butter Snickers?
No, just regular.
Just regular.
They should never make peanut butter Snickers.
You don't like the peanut butter Snickers?
At all. Kinda I like gross. Snickers with almonds and stuff like that, but not peanut butter. They just ruined it. You got Reese's for that. If
it's
you want
peanut
butter, right?
Exactly, yeah. Terry.
Do you like the trend with the white chocolate on the Reese's and the Kit Kat?
I'm okay with that. I'm you know, Kit Kat flavored guy. You know, the one thing I don't like in the bag is any like black licorice, something like that, or you know that those type of candies that taste like that, you know, or they put the what's the candy bar that doesn't have any peanuts, doesn't have anything in it.
Three Musketeer.
Yeah, leave them out.
That's a rip.
If you got them at home, don't put them in. And don't give out. Don't give that out.
What is your position on candy corn?
I don't know. Are you supposed to eat those anymore?
I haven't eaten one in a long, long time.
Now, they're too sweet for me now, but as a kid, I loved them.
Mike Leach was he wants to cancel candy corn.
That's disgusting.
I'm with the pirate on this one.
Right, and taffy. Small ones, little taffies.
You like those, right?
I love them.
Yeah, okay.
Like the ones that came in the orange and black wrapper?
The little Laffy Taffies.
Yeah, like
– the peanut butter ones?
Would you tell – they don't make peanut butter.
He's
taffy.
Talking about Laffy Taffy, bro. Like banana
flavored. I'm an old man. I'm a little bit older than you.
When did have
Bear,
they made?
Bear loves old man candy, like Werther's original.
Well,
that's
he must
his
be
favorite.
Getting those like down in Gatlinburg where they make taffy.
Well, no,
there and all
they used
that,
to come in the Halloween. They'd come wrapped up in the orange and black paper, and it was like a little round piece of taffy. And in the middle, there was like peanut butter or something.
That
wasn't really taffy though.
True, but it was still good.
I mean, that's taffy too.
Those were terrible too. Don't put those in the bag either. I know what you're saying.
Some of that saltwater taffy.
You bring Bear just a bucket full of Werther's Original. He'll be the happiest guy.
The only time I've ever eaten Werther's when I started on the drive and before I got on the cough drive.
He's probably a butterscotch guy, too.
Huh? Oh, no. Big grandma candy guy. Bear.
The peppermints, the round peppermints, butterscotch. You go to church, but didn't bother you when you went to church as long as you had some candy to eat.
Stay with us. The drive continues. One more segment with T. Fair, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, back with more right after this. Sour Patch Kids.
Disgusting.
Like it. I like it. Skittles. You can't
My
go
wife
wrong.
Got me like this Skittles. Like huge pillow-sized bag of like the individual bags of Sour Patch, regular Sour Patch Kids and the watermelon. Have you had the watermelon Sour Patch Kids?
I think I have.
Oh.
Sounds delicious.
So she got me like this pillowcase-sized bag of these things like a month ago. Yeah, those things have been gone for a week.
I don't blame you.
They were supposed to last till Halloween. They're gone. They've been gone. It might be 2 weeks. I don't know.
Yeah, you know the best thing is when you go to a house and they're giving out the full-size candy bars.
God bless those folks.
And you mark that house down for next year. Like, got to go to that house.
Everybody knows, like, there's two or three houses in the neighborhood. They're like, let's go there first before they run out because everybody's going.
Yep.
So how old were you guys when you stopped trick-or-treating?
We used to get together in high school and
My senior year in high school was my last
year. Man was a hard ass.
Yeah.
It was a hard cutoff line at 12.
Yeah.
That's what my cutoff was. I was the rock.
You got to get that candy, Halloween. Man. Remember, was it last year's? Somebody asked Pruitt if he had a favorite Halloween costume that growing up. This is some reporter trying to inject a little fun to the press conference. Like, Coach, it's Halloween this weekend. Do you have a favorite costume growing up? And he just goes, no.
You know, you used to have a parade at school and stuff, man. You sitting there with your costume on, with your regular school shoes and your plastic mask with the strap, with the rubber strap around the back, you know. Good times, man.
TJ, the Kentucky fan, is next. What's up, TJ?
Hey, guys, Terry, this is actually the first time I get to talk while you're on, and I just wanted to tell you from a Kentucky fan, much respect. I remember many of those games in the 90s when you played against us, and, got nothing respect for you, buddy.
Appreciate it, TJ.
Yes, sir. Hey, you know, I'm not going to talk football. The Braves. Now, let me ask you something. What do you think? We all know the last time the Braves went to the World Series, it wasn't pretty. It was a 4-0 sweep. Is the moment too big for this team? Do we get swept like we did in 99 against the Yankees? Or do you think they come out here and make it a 6-7-game series?
I think you got to win one of the first two games in Houston. I think if you do that, I think Atlanta wins the series. If you lose the first two, and it's 2-0 headed back to Atlanta, I think that it becomes a must-win situation because you're not coming back from 3-0. Like, I don't think this team is built that way. So that's kind of what I'm watching is you got to win one of these first two games.
Hey, and I'm also saying Luke Jackson has made a deal with the devil and Snitker. I don't know how he's on this roster. Y'all have a good one.
He doesn't need to be pitching this series. But he will be.
This is something. I'm gonna check this out, man. I hadn't been big on Atlanta, but listening to you, you know, I'll be tuned in every game on this one.
You got you're jumping on the bandwagon?
I'm not jumping on the bandwagon, but I'm gonna watch though.
It's okay.
I might throw you a chop here and there.
It's okay. I mean, you had the superstation. You had TBS growing up, right? The Arizona. Yeah. I mean, that's everywhere. That's why they're America's team.
Who's your baseball team growing up out west?
I've always been a Dodgers fan.
Makes sense.
Probably, you know.
Do you play baseball?
I did. Man, I've played as a kid all the way up until high school till I couldn't see anymore. You know, I just couldn't see. I couldn't see the ball, man, and until I got contacts, and then I just never went out and played. I was supposed to run for the Dodgers, actually, in high school.
You were supposed to run for the Dodgers?
Yeah, they wanted me to run for
them. Like come out and do a little tryout
or
something?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Huh. Interesting. What kind of hitter were you? Hit for power?
It's hard when you can't see. I was just a get-on-the-base guy, you know what I mean? Get me on the base and let me steal some bases.
Analytics, that's what it's all about, man.
Some in-the-park home runs.
Like a young Ricky Henderson, you were a base stealer?
I was like, not Ricky Henderson, but what's the dude from Major League?
Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah, Willie Mays Hayes. That's me right there.
Don't steal home without it.
Runs like Mays, hits like.
Yeah. Who's what do you think of the new overtime rule? Did you watch Illinois and Penn State?
I did. You know, I like it, man. You got to go for two, and
it's kind of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's like doing goal line over and over and over again. And whoever, you know, really has the toughest team and most creative is going to win the game. But I have to say, I do like it, man. It makes you step up. You only have to defend so much, you know. So it really comes down to who really wants it and being disciplined in coverage, because a lot of things you do down there, all right, you either got to stop the run and really knuckle up down there, or you're going to be playing man-to-man, and you got to be good at it.
It really does, whether you like it or not. You can't argue and say that it doesn't cut down on the wear and tear on the kids.
You say that, but the Illinois guy broke his wrist in that.
Yeah, I mean, you can do that on any play in football. Yeah. But
is that the quarterback when he got hit? Yeah, but that's just a tackle and how he landed on that.
He came down on football. Yeah. Right on his hand.
But you think back to some of the – I mean, hell, Tennessee's been in some of them. The multi-overtime games – that's when I would get nervous, because the kids have been out there for hours and hours. They're exhausted. And I mean, I kind of understand why they did it.
I just think if you're a physical football team, it bodes well for you at that point.
Mm.
You know, that's like goal line. And when I was at Tennessee, I loved it so much, man, because it was the most physical goal line. I mean, it was like, I wasn't involved in it, you know, I mean, like that. I'm on the outside covering that one receiver.
I liked watching it.
And we're watching. Okay. But, man, the level of impact that you saw every play, man, and it was so intense. It was a thing of beauty.
Well, I'm in really good. Let me start digging in.
They'll have to change up the practice, right? I mean, because you're going to have more of a format, like a bunch of two-point plays, basically. I mean,
you do, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, you work on as well. That's part of your off season. That's part of, you know, your spring ball when you go into it. You know, you're probably going to have some periods of nothing but 2-point conversions. You always train for every sequence that may happen in that game, just like 2-minute drills. Those 2-point conversions are a big part of that as well. And usually, probably every week, you're going to have maybe a period to where you're going to work on those two-point plays.
All right, so off week coming up, obviously objective number one, get your guys, your dudes healthy for the Kentucky game. Number two, figure out how to stop a running quarterback. I mean, that's got to be a priority.
You have to figure out how to stop that running quarterback. How to get off the field on third downs is huge, and how to – you know, generate first downs offensively, right? So, you know, I would imagine that there are going to be some, you know, third down periods, offense versus defense, because that's something that we both need to work on. So it's something that we can work on against each other in the off week in terms of different down and distances and situations. Okay, third and short, third and 7+, third and 3-6. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it's broken down in college, where you have your 3-6, then you have your, you know, 7-10, then 10+, and you have certain defenses within that 3-6, within that 7-10, within that 10+. So, you know, it's a time to really hone in and work on those down and distances that you've seen and hadn't been successful in.
Let's talk a little bit here about Craven Wings on the way out. They make T-Fair Tuesdays possible. Established in 2008, family-owned and operated. Shout out to Justin and Melissa. Great company here locally. Fresh, never frozen. That's their motto. The chicken fingers, the chicken wings.
Cheese curds.
Ooh, the spicy cheese curds.
Oh, unbelievable.
Shout out to Jake Miller for turning us on to the cheese curds.
Sauce 87.
That's what I had, the chicken fingers dipping it in. The sauce 87.
Can't go wrong with that.
So what's the deal with the banana pudding?
I haven't had it yet.
I haven't either.
I'm guessing it's very good.
Everything there has been great thus far, man. It is. If you get a chance, get out and check them out. Like I said, two locations, one in South Knoxville, also off North Shore in Chodo. And check us out and hit us up on social media as well and tag us and let us know you were there. Let us know what you got. And if you need some help with a selection, you can hit us up as well.
And don't forget, kids 10 and under eat free at the Chodo location only Monday through Thursday. So your families out there, that's a great spot to take kids. I mean, you know, chicken. Like, kids can eat that. Feed them
wrong.
For free. Get yourself some chicken wings, maybe a cold cerveza. To wash the tasty chicken down, It's all for you at Craven Weeks. Terry, have a great week, my man. We will do it again.
Hey, I appreciate it, and we'll know a lot about this Kentucky team and what we'll be facing when they go up against this Mississippi State offense on Saturday. Kind of gives us a sneak peek in to how they're going to play us, you know, and we'll get more into Kentucky next week, but, man, I got my theory on it and take on it. A lot of close games that they've been in this year. Does that mean they're battle-tested? We will see.
Yeah, that's the next step for this team, too, is win a close game.
That would be great. That would be great for the psyche.
Got to learn how to win. All right, Terry Fair exiting stage left. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up next here on Fan Run Radio.